I'm Alex Van Beek, and in each episode, we'll take a closer look at the science, the stories, and the solutions to both pet and livestock animal care. Let's explore what's possible. Welcome to Elevate Animal Health, episode number 3. I'm your host, Alex Van Beek, and today we're going to go on a journey with probiotics, prebiotics, enzymes, and vitamins, and understanding the differences in between them and how to think about them. So if you're sitting at home and you're wondering, you know, what do all these topics really mean? You hear about them maybe in an advertisement or you see them on social media, people talking about the values and the benefits and et cetera. And they might just be talking about a brand name, like Synacor, for example. But without understanding truly what they are, it's hard to make a decision, right? And in today's world, there is an overwhelming amount of information. In today's world, we get information coming in from all angles. And how do you really know how to make a great decision, right? Often with knowledge can come clarity, but it can also be confusion. So I remember when I was going to look for a pellet grill. I was going to move to a pellet grill for the first time. And I searched in Google best pellet grill. In 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, I was more confused than when I had started because everybody was the best. All these features were the best. So I was truly trying to understand what was it that I was looking for and which one did I feel met that need. The thing I was looking for was kind of a worry-free way of grilling, right? I didn't want the flare up, but I didn't need all the bells and whistles to do the extravagant smoking techniques, etc. So when it comes to your pet's health, and maybe not even your pet's health, but it could be backyard farming. It could be hobby farming. It could be that you are starting a homestead and you want to understand what's the best for my animals, whether it's pet or production. So we're going to dive a little bit into pre and probiotics. What are they? What do they mean? What's the difference in between them? So many people get confused in what really is the difference, and does it matter? As long as I'm feeding something, does it matter? In a later episode, we're going to talk about bioavailability. We're going to talk about hedonic value. And we're going to talk about the differences as we go down the GI tract. So on that journey down the GI tract, we're going to highlight specific areas and why they matter. For today, we're going to take a close look at prebiotics, probiotics, enzymes, and vitamins, and why they play an important role in digestion, why they play an important role in your pet's overall health, and how do you know what to do? So, without any dragging this on any longer, we're going to dive right in. Probiotics. We're going to start with probiotics, because that is arguably one of the most studied and marketed terms right now in animal supplementation. Not considering joint health. I'm speaking specifically to GI health. In the world of probiotics, simply put, probiotics are predominantly bacteria. You can also have yeast, like a Saccharomyces boulardii, could be a probiotic. And probiotics have a very, very, very specific role. Each bacteria has a very specific role. What is that? Well, when we look at the GI tract, now I'm stealing from next episode, but I'll go deeper in it. When we look at the GI tract, I'm going to utilize the term society when I associate a GI tract. And each one of the bacteria, each one of the species, but also the specific strain, have a unique role. So think about, as we talk about the GI tract, think about your own community that you live in. Could be a rural community, but still part of the city that maybe you go grocery shopping in or whatever it may be, right? And each one of those bacteria are like unique citizens in the city. Each one has their own specific role. You have from the police to the garbage service to lawn care, retail shops, you name it. Each have their own specific goal, their own specific role as well. And when each one plays their role accordingly, you have a beautifully functioning city. It works very well. It's a thriving community. It grows because people are united, right? And they're united to thrive, not just survive. Now, what happens is life throws challenges at us. That does the same thing with your pets. Your pets are going to experience challenges that maybe you're not even aware of. Some of those challenges could be digesting food. Certain foods they can't digest. Some of the challenges could be, we have 4th of July coming up soon, and it could be events around, just causing anxiety due to unsuspected loud noises, right? Hunting dogs have to be trained to hear the shot of a gun. So, and not only that, you have holidays, any kind of holidays, travel stress, any of these things are challenges for them. What happens is the nervous system, when they experience that challenge and all of a sudden they're frightful, the nervous system sends signals to the GI tract and you create disruption. You create an opportunity for certain bacteria to get out of control. It's no different than when a city or a country or an area deals with a challenge. Think of a natural disaster, and we tend to have more opportunistic crimes happening. Not to get political, but anytime an opportunity exists, you will see that creep out. Well, probiotics play an important role because they can help resolve those situations. They can help prepare the animal for this predictable challenge. So in any of those situations, if you're taking probiotics, generally the animal is going to be better equipped to handle that situation. Because the environment in that society, in the GI tract, is prepared by those probiotics, by the specific metabolites they produce, or by the specific way they cause or modulate the production of different defense mechanisms in the GI tract. Okay? So when we're talking about probiotics, and maybe some episode later we can dive into some specific ones, at this point, I would encourage questions or comments sent to us where we can address them later on to really find out what you as the audience are experiencing or maybe have a question on that you want to know. And then we can dive more targeted into that specific topic. So for the purpose of this right now is I want to impress on everybody that be very knowledgeable about the specific bacteria in a probiotic additive. Why would you want to feed that bacteria? Right? There's another thing you have to be aware of when it comes to probiotics. And probiotics don't necessarily need to be fed all the time. I'm thinking specifically of production animals. Okay? Production animals fed probiotics on a continuous basis. I just ask you one question. Where do they get their energy from? They are going to be pulling it from the diet. And every production stat that you're trying to reach is dependent on energy utilization. So how can we approach it in a different way? A later episode, we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about how to drive energy efficiency and energy utilization by the use of different technologies that are being discovered today even. With probiotics and prebiotics, I hope I gave a little bit of clarity on the pro. They are bacterias, sometimes yeast, that create an environment at which the immune system and the GI tract can thrive in what you're trying to specifically drive. So if I want to drive a production of lactic acid, I'm going to have lactobacillus bacteria in my diet. Now, not everybody needs that same thing. So one of the first steps I would recommend is you can take stool sampling. And there are many companies out there. I'm not going to recommend one right now, although if you ask a question, I can provide some basic intel. That you take a stool sample or a stool swab, send it in. They're going to give you a breakdown on the class of bacteria that you have. And then also, you're going to put some of the issues in there, maybe skin dryness or rough hair coat or maybe anxiety or whatever that might be. And you're going to get a little bit more indication as to specifically what your pet is dealing with. Okay. The reason for that is not all probiotics do the exact same thing. And not always do you want to boost the immune system, because boosting the immune system consumes energy, right? And a sick animal doesn't want to eat, so they don't have energy. And now I'm consuming more. So you have to be very specific. When it comes to prebiotics, we're gonna switch to prebiotics now, because there's a lot of confusion in between what is a pro and pre. Pro is an organism. Pre are dietary fibers. Typically, you're talking about oligosaccharides, and you're talking about an inulin is another one. Okay, and these dietary fibers are specifically meant to feed the good bacteria, right? To be a food source for the thriving society that you have in your GI tract. Prebiotics, carefully selected, can provide a targeted approach to what that society looks like. Where this really matters is when you get to personalized healthcare or personalized targeted diet and nutrition based on those needs. So if you did that fecal swab, and you sent in the result, or sent in the swab, got the results back and said, you know what? Based on these results, if I encouraged the growth of a different class of bacteria, I would provide a better opportunity to digest certain compounds. So if you could encourage the opportunity to digest fats at a more efficient rate, you're going to have a better utilization of the fat-soluble vitamins that are in the diet. We are also going to create a better hair and skin coat because those fats are crucial for that problem or deficiency. Prebiotics are fermented by the probiotics. And in that fermentation, you get the creation of short-chain fatty acids, which feed and cause the bacteria to proliferate dependent upon the prebiotic you're feeding. So you can specifically encourage the growth of certain classes. Now, on a puppy, for example, they have just been weaned from their mother. And one of the most important things you can do for that puppy at that moment is develop their villi, the structure in which the bacteria and the society build around. So the more prolific the GI tract structurally is, the more surface area I have to grow the classes of bacteria I want to grow, and therefore causing that society to look the way I'm trying to make it look. Why is this important? Why should I think this far into it? Can't I just buy a bag of dog food off the shelf or from my vet or from Chewy or wherever you get your dog food from? Can't I just do that? Doesn't it already come packed with all these things? No, it does not. And that's where we talk in like the bioavailability and hedonic value episode later, where we talk about the difference in surviving versus thriving. So why is that very important? Well, for example, if I'm into sporting animals, so racing, agility, or hunting, or any kind of sport or activity type of thing where I want to cause that animal to perform to the best of their ability, then early GI development, early GI tract development is crucial for, it's the best defense mechanism you can give your pet for a lifetime. See, now we're looking at it differently. So sometimes when you want change, you do have to look at it through different optics. And when we hear at Elevate Animal Health podcast, we want to give you the information that causes you to look at something from a different optic or a different viewpoint, right? So starting that animal off in the right way is going to set them up for a lifetime of success, right? And that's true with anything. Sooner you start, the more compounding effect it has later on. And there are certain prebiotics you can feed that cause certain classes of bacteria to become very active, very prolific in the GI tract, and cause that villi to really gain the structure you're looking for optimal nutrition uptake later on in life. When I'm looking at prebiotics, I'm thinking about what does my animal need, what's in the food, and how do I best feed the bacteria? So anytime you're dealing with a probiotic type product, you need a prebiotic source. Typically a fructooligosaccharide is your most common. It's the most studied in terms of the classes of bacteria that it produces. Okay, so I hope I gave a little information on prebiotics and probiotics. So again, encourage the questions because that helps me understand and helps us understand a bit more on where the interests lie and the questions lie and kind of the general direction the audience is trying to get to. So in probiotics and prebiotics, I want you to just keep in mind, very simply, take a fecal swab, send it in, especially if you have a brand new puppy or a young dog, send it in, figure out what that looks like, and then what are the top two issues you're dealing with? Might not be an issue. What's an opportunity you want to see, right? I think with personalized nutrition, and this is for the pet also, personalized nutrition, you can really improve things like hair coat and skin conditions. So with that, do the fecal swab and analyze it as it comes back, but I guarantee you, utilizing some prebiotic probiotic combination early in that pet's life is going to change it for the rest of their life. You're going to set them up for success. Now I'm going to leave the probiotic and prebiotic conversation for a minute, and we're going to jump into enzymes. It's a whole different world, but we're going to jump into enzymes, what they are, why do I need them? Aren't they already there? And we'll discover a few things. In the world of enzymes, we really can go a lot of different directions, but I'm going to try to keep it simple and start from the top of why enzymes are necessary. And that already, as I'm saying that, my mind is going all over the place because enzymes are some of the most interesting things when you talk about nutrition and you talk about food in general. Enzymes are a natural function of your body, right? You have digestive enzymes that are secreted in your mouth, also in your stomach, also in your intestinal tract. When you start to think about food and you're hungry, now we're starting to get into the hedonic value. So I'm not going to talk specifically about that. But your body starts to produce these enzymes. So then why would I need supplemental enzymes? Well, as we said before in the podcast last time, most of your commercially available pet foods are manufactured to AFCO standards, which set the pet up for survival, but not necessarily thriving. Now, personally, if I spend $80 on a bag of dog food, I want to get as much out of that food as is available or is utilizable by my pet. It's not the right word, but we'll go with it. The enzymatic factor in the animal, once that food enters into their mouth, the only way they are getting anything out of that food is by enzymatic action. So it has to be broken down to the point of availability. And then certain things are even not bioavailable, right? And we'll talk about that in the bioavailability section, but I'll give you one quick example. if I were to just take turmeric as a spice, right, which has a very well-known anti-inflammatory antioxidant data supporting it, if I were just to take turmeric, it would do nothing. It needs a certain compound from black pepper to become bioavailable. Now the body can utilize it. I think of, you know, a combustion engine, right? In your car. Your car could not drive just on fuel. It also needs oxygen, right? And so when I think of enzymes, how best to relate that is the food we eat often, if it comes out of a box, it's because of convenience. It's never because it's the best for us. We all know that. I think just natively, we know the second we open a box, we're doing it because of convenience, or a bag. We're doing it because of convenience, not necessarily because it's the best thing for us to thrive. So I've never heard of anybody eating something out of a box to get their vitamins. They're eating vegetables, right? And when it comes to dog food and cat food in the way it is produced, which it needs to be, there's no way we could feed the millions of dogs and cats we have as pets today by everybody cooking them a meal. It's not feasible. So why is enzyme supplementation necessary? Those foods, as they are manufactured, the enzyme activity is denatured. It's not available. It's not active. And yet, I still need to break down those carbohydrates. I still need to break down the fats. I still need to break down so they're utilizable, so they're have the capacity to be digested and absorbed, the proteins. And most dogs, most cats are going to have a certain level of enzyme production. But some may produce more lipase and some may produce more protease. And you're going to get a varying degree of what that animal is able to break down. And one dog may have rough hair coat and dry skin conditions. Likely, I'm not prescribing anything or you know, trying to solve anything as far as that specific a condition, but definitely something to look for is the fat. And this is another reason why you would do a fecal swab, is to see what kind of fat content is passing through that animal. With enzymes, you can ensure that the food you're feeding is not just surviving or not just for survival for the pet, but gives them the opportunity to thrive according to the formulation that's in the food. So if you're buying a food that is specifically for active pets and you want to make sure that they have an energy level that fits your pet family, right? So if you're going to go for a run, you want to make sure they have the energy that fits that, or just playing out in the park or wherever, then enzyme supplementation will cause that animal to go from they're surviving to they're thriving. You're going to get more energy out of that diet, guaranteed. You put an enzyme supplementation in the diet, you will get more energy. Likely, you're going to get a better utilization of fats and proteins also. But the carbohydrates, you're going to get a much higher energy availability. So enzymes are the catalyst that causes the food to be broken down into utilizable pieces, utilizable nutrition, right? It's like the scissors, right? It breaks certain bonds so you can utilize it. And enzymes at any stage of life are highly important. For a puppy, it's highly important that they receive the amount of protein in order for development. In sporting animals, they digest the food they are eating in an efficient manner. And sometimes I think of examples of customers talking about what happened after feeding an enzyme. And one of the first things they notice is their animal is not as gassy as it was before, because some of these carbohydrates that are making it back into the large intestine, the colon area, there's class and bacteria that eat that right up and utilize that and turn it into gas. It's a simple thing. So there's so much that enzymes can do in the GI tract, depending on where they're available, right? So what makes enzymes available? We could break into that for a little bit. Enzymes become active based on pH. So when you're thinking about enzymes, and this is where you can really start to get personalized on nutrition. Now I take the probiotics that I'm hoping to encourage growth of, and I understand what prebiotics will encourage the growth of this class of bacteria, and I also take enzymes that are active during the pH range where that class of bacteria is found. And if I could start to marry these together, wow, I come up with a powerhouse of a nutrition plan, right? And this is not being taught. Currently, this information is disjointed all over the place. And that's what we're doing here on Elevate Animal Health, is bringing it together so you have a better understanding of how do I go forward? How do I move forward? Is the only thing I look for what's on the bag of dog food? What's described on there? What are the three key points that they have on that bag? And does that fit the needs of my pet? No, it does not. You have to look deeper at what's available. Vitamins are another class that we're going to look at. Vitamins are another piece that we want to discover. And when I think of vitamins, these aren't the only ones, but we're going to look at vitamin A, vitamin D, and vitamin E for a moment. They are three important vitamins. And why are they important? Well, vitamin A, very shortly, I'm going to spend just a few minutes on vitamin A. Vitamin A is crucial for the building. It's a crucial component for the building block of mucosa. So inside your GI tract, and a lot of people think this is disgusting when you talk about it, but that's what we do. Inside your GI tract, you have slime. There's a slime layer, right? That's your first barrier of protection. And throughout that slime layer circulate tons of different antibodies, etc. In your GI tract is not the only place that you have a mucus layer. Think of your eyes also. Keeping a healthy mucus layer on your eyes is one of the best defenses against pink eye. So in livestock production, one of the best ways to prevent that is to ensure great availability and or supplementation of vitamin A. And you never want to give it through an injection. Through an injection, you take a fat-soluble vitamin that is meant to be stored in the liver, and you don't even give it a chance to go in the liver. So, always through oral supplementation. Vitamin A is crucial in that building block. Once that defense is gone, now certain bacterias and the toxins they produce can cause the degradation of the villi that you hopefully, while feeding a puppy or a kitten, had the intent to build, right? We want to build that when they're young. So we also want to maintain a good mucosa layer. Vitamin E. I'm going to jump to vitamin E for a moment. Vitamin E is one of the most common antioxidant, inflammatory vitamins available. And vitamin E solves a lot of physiological challenges due to inflammation and due to oxidization. Anytime we're dealing with certain stressors, we're dealing with oxidization. Our body deals with it all the time. Even right now, there are certain things that our body is dealing with that is causing cellular breakdown due to oxidization. And vitamin E is one that is the most important in your regular diet to slow down that process, right? And so vitamin E availability, it's a fat-soluble vitamin. You need fats to cause vitamin E to become soluble. That's what fat-soluble vitamins mean. You need the fats to cause these vitamins to be available, right? You could feed as many units of vitamins as you want, but if you don't have the right component to make them soluble, well, then they just pass through, right? And a great example of this is with, a daily multivitamin and or giving an animal vitamin supplementation. And then shortly after, you see the urine is extremely bright yellow. Well, a lot of those vitamins just pass through. So how to do the right vitamin supplementation? You know, if you're taking a daily multivitamin, a pressed tablet at home, it's likely if you're taking it just with a glass of water, you're passing most of that through. You are not utilizing it. So I don't care what fat choice you want, but take it with a good, healthy fat, right? Maybe it's just olive oil or whatever. Could be milk or yogurt, you name it. Good fat content, it's going to help make that more available. Good fat content with an enzyme that breaks down the fat is also important. So when you're thinking through, what do I do for my pet? I didn't realize that this was so in-depth. I thought I could just buy a puppy or adopt a puppy and go and get the best dog food I can find on the shelf, right? I'm going to buy the most expensive. I'm going to buy the one with the label I'm attracted to. Or there are certain points in there. Maybe one says it's made with blueberries. Maybe one says it's made with wild salmon. It doesn't matter. The process in which it's made causes a lot of the elements we just talked about today to be denatured and unavailable. So whatever's on the bag, sure, maybe those components are there, but can your dog or your cat get access to them and utilize them. I'm realizing right now I didn't talk about vitamin D. And maybe I'll skip that one and use that later on in another episode. But I like to break on this episode and kind of summarize what we just went through and then lead you into next episode where we talk about bioavailability, we talk about hedonic value, and we section or take more a deeper dive in that for the first time into the GI tract step by step as we go through the different components of it. So in summary on this one, how do I know what to do? How do I know what to feed my pet? How do I know what to supplement them for? Well, I'm not going to get into the feed part of it. I'm not going to get into what pet food you purchase, but take a stool swab. There's many different companies that do it. And try to understand what class of bacteria is the most predominant, etc., and then you start to personalize it. However, if that is beyond what you want to do, you want simple, easy, and we knew that was the case for most pet parents today, is and that's why we put together a package called Synacor. And Synacor, I'm going to put a little plug in for that product. Synacor is a product designed specifically for pet parents that want convenience. You have a busy lifestyle and you want something convenient that you don't have to think about. It's palatable. My dog likes it. And I get all these benefits. I get the prebiotics, probiotics, enzymes, and vitamins. So that is where I'm going to leave it. I really, really appreciate everybody that subscribed and joined us for this episode. And if you have questions, if you have any comments or anything else, just reach out to us. We'd love to address them on this podcast. Thank you. And I'm your host, Alex Van Beek.